Clear Channel's iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Jane Wilkins Michael Show. Better than before. An hour of beauty, health, fitness, and lifestyle advice from renowned columnist and author Jane Wilkins Michael and her guests, top experts in their fields. Join Jane's campaign to become better than before. Now, here she is, Jane Wilkins Michael.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Jane Wilkins Michael Show, Better Than Before, on iHeartRadio Talk. I'm Jane. I'm coming to you live from New York City. I want to thank you so much for being with us. Well, it's a beautiful day in New York City. The sun is shining, the temperature is warm, the flowers are blooming. All is right with the world. And to make it even better than before, she can and she will. Here is my wonderful producer, Lori Houston. Hi, Lori.
You're so crazy, Jane.
Hey, you bring sunshine wherever you go. So even though we don't need it today, you bring more. You know, on my way to the show today, I bumped into someone I hadn't seen for a while. And he stared at me for the longest time. And he finally said, you look, and I'm expecting terrific, hoping for so young. He said, you look very sturdy. So to give it a positive spin, I took it that my weight training classes are finally showing results, right?
That's an interesting comment. Yes.
Right? Mm. But with all the stress involved in promoting my new book, Long Live You, for me to actually live longer, what I really need is a week at a spa. And actually, I probably could use a year. That being said, and impossible right at this very moment, I am more than thrilled to have on the show the person who is one of the most respected spa industry experts in the world. She is Susie Ellis, chairman and CEO of the Global Wellness Institute, which is a leading research and educational resource for the $3.4 trillion, Lori, dollar wellness industry. She also heads up their sister organization, the annual Global Wellness Summit. We're going to be talking about both of those. Susie is also president of Spa Finder Wellness, which is the world's largest media and marketing company for the spa and wellness industry. And she herself has spent decades working in and writing and speaking about the spa and wellness worlds. And for this lifelong passionate commitment, she received the International Spa Association's prestigious Visionary Award. And a true visionary she is. And if you have never considered going to a spa, all you have to do is look at Susie, who is absolutely stunning, and you'll immediately jump onto spafinder.com and make a reservation. I am actually doing it as we speak, Lori, between us. Welcome to the show, Susie. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, hi, Jane, and thank you for having me and for that very nice introduction. I know you and I share a love for spas, so lots to talk about.
Yes, lots and lots to talk about. You know, Susie, my mother was a pioneer in writing about spas. She wrote two books called Secrets from the Super Spas, followed by More Secrets from the Super Spas. So I think I was practically born in a spa. Rumor has it that she secretly gave birth to me on Camelback Mountain when she was at Elizabeth Arden's Main Chance. And then I was for years a spa columnist at Town & Country magazine, Spa & Beauty. But years ago, other than the European spas, where you went to take the cure for health reasons, going to a spa was basically considered a luxury. Now it's a necessity. And after decades where vacation basically meant everything in excess, you know, too much food, drinking, too little sleep, more and more people, they're changing what they want out of both their vacations and business travel, and they're looking for healthier experiences and destinations. And you've had over 30 years in spas and wellness, and even though you are a visionary, did you ever imagine in the beginning the phenomenal growth and success of this industry over the years?
Well, Jane, I would say that I probably had some inkling of it because it was always just part of my lifestyle, and it just seemed like it needed to be part of everyone's lifestyle, not just, you know, the rich and famous. And Jane, you know, I remember your mother, you know, many years ago, back when I was with the Golden Door. And yes, she was very, very well known as the person writing about spas. And she did a lot to really help spread the word about spas and keeping healthy, and you know, people liked reading about spas then, I think they still like reading about spas and hearing about what's going on. And there's just so much more globally, and it's more of a global conversation. So I guess, you know, with the momentum and also with the emphasis on wellness now, I don't think I would have envisioned that. But I'm just so glad that that's what's happened. And it's exciting to be part of it and to have been part of it for the last many decades.
Truth be told. Now, you've been to about a thousand spas, I would think, and you just mentioned you started the Golden Door. How many years were you at the Golden Door?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question, because I've been at the Golden Door several times. So I was there, then I left, then I went back, and my relationship with the Golden Door has spanned four decades. So I started there in 1974. And that was kind of right after college. And then, you know, I left and then I went back, and I've always done things in the world of spa and wellness. And I'm still very close to Deborah Zeke, who is the founder, and she's, I think it's 93 years old now. And so my time there, if you add it all up, it's, you know, quite a few years, but it was sort of a come and go and consult and so on over many years. And now I'm still involved with Rancho La Puerta, which is the spa she founded before the Golden Door. And of course, you probably know that she sold the Golden Door 10 or so years ago. And but, you know, I've been to the Golden Door many times now as a guest, and I think the last time I was there was last year. They have new owners, and they've done a fabulous job refurbishing, and I have to say it's still one of my favorite spas. And like you said, I've been to over 1,000 spas, a lot out of the country now too, but I still, you know, have a real soft spot for the Golden Door and for my own personal well-being. Having any place to go, to choose to go, I would choose to go to the Golden Door for a week.
Oh, I would too. I remember my mother took me to the Golden Door when I was young, and I remember it was a motel in those days. It was by the highway, and we walked down the path in our little pink bunny suits, our little sweatsuits, and that was, you know, the very, very beginning. But today it is a paradise, an Eden. It's gorgeous. So for our listeners, delectation, I love that word. Describe a little bit about what you'd find at the door today.
I'd be happy to. And I do remember those years, you know, where the guests were in pinkies. That's what mm-hmm. we called it. And they were pink warm-up suits and, you know, pink hats, because everybody had their hair oiled. I think it was olive oil on day one. And this oil was kept in their hair for the whole week. And so they had these pink turbans. So, yes, it was quite a sight having, you know, the guests from the Golden Door back then walking amongst the avocado groves in their pink outfits. And I would say the first Golden Door, which was the initial one, which was that motel, was actually beautiful also in a different way. Deborah had selected this motel where at that time, you know, many motels had a pool in the middle and rooms around the perimeter. And she had created every room in a different style. So there was the French room, and there was the American room, and the, you know, the various kinds of rooms, all very luxuriously done. There was a blue one, a green one, and so on. And the whole center of the motel area was just, I always thought it was like a Garden of Eden. So many flowers, so beautiful. It was really a lovely, lovely place. But when she had to move the Golden Door, which is what happened, that the highway was rerouting, and it was now going to be coming right, you know, near where the Golden Door was, she had the opportunity then to move the Golden Door. And she decided to create what was her passion at that time, a Japanese inn, because she felt the tranquility of the Japanese ryokans was so conducive to rest and relaxation. So she went with her architect to Japan for, I think it was 28 days, and they saw 28 ryokans. And when they came back, he created the Golden Door, which is still in existence now as this Japanese inn. And its location ended up being about a mile, I think it was east of, or west rather, of the original location, and she really created a beautiful Japanese Roikan and had lovely Japanese art. The rooms were beautifully done, and every room had its own Japanese garden. So the whole idea of rest and relaxation and meditation was there running. And it still exists today. It's been refurbished. It has beautiful gardens. I think the gardens are one of the famous parts of it. And then there's also the gardens for fruits and vegetables, because they do a lot of very, very wonderful organic produce that they serve there. And, you know, the person that goes to the Golden Door would walk over this beautiful bridge that is over the, I think they call it the Camellia area, and into Soji screens that open up, and inside you go. It's like being in a sanctuary.
And no, it's magnificent. A lot of, yeah.
It is, yeah.
I just sent a note to Lori. I want to go there now. And also I have to add, Susie, when you go there, you bring a toothbrush because everything is supplied. I mean, this is how life should be in general. You know, you don't have to worry about cooking. You don't have to worry about cleaning. You don't have to worry about laundry. You don't have to worry about sweat, you know, all your exercise clothes. They're supplied. You wear it once. They take them. They give you more. It's incredible.
It's so
you know,
true.
You have personal trainer, you have either a massage or a facial every day. I mean, you in your room, and it's quite wonderful. I must say, I'm thinking about it and going, whoa, you know, it's amazing. But you know, we're talking about, you're mentioning Deborah. I do know Deborah very well. In fact, she was also a friend of my parents, and she is, of course, a legend. She's a pioneer and a prophet in spa and wellness. And I also mention her in my new book. And you know, Susie, over the years, she invited me to both the Golden Door and Rancho La Puerta. And not only that, but she was so gracious. She sent gifts to me for each one of my three children when they were born.
Oh,
and then
my
when
goodness.
She was lovely, and she still is. And my mother died. She invited me to the door, and I think I slept for an entire week. I didn't go to one class. I didn't even come out of the room. And she said, you know, you needed that. And then when I left, she left me a note that said, take care of yourself, Jane, because you are the only self you have. And I still have that note, and I never forget that. So what was her philosophy? I mean, what can we learn from her philosophy that, you know, we all can take away from it? Even if we don't go to the door of the ranch.
I know. Well, and that's the thing about the Golden Door. The program and the philosophy is so wonderful and really something people can create for themselves, because it's really quite simple. It isn't complicated. It's very much being, you know, she's very, very passionate about food and eating healthful food from the earth. She, you know, she is herself vegetarian, but she's really about really fresh, not modified foods from the garden, eating fresh, and having a lifestyle of, you know, good sleep and taking care of oneself. You know, as you said, at the Golden Door, there's a massage every day and a facial every day. And I remember when people would come on Sunday and leave the following Sunday, it was a miracle, the difference in how they looked and how they felt. And it was a matter of shutting off. You know, there was an encouragement not to read newspapers, and, you know, way back then we didn't have, you know, cell phones and all, but it was really a matter of giving yourself that gift for a week to take care of yourself. And I think that philosophy, obviously exercise, obviously taking care of yourself with what you're eating and your relationships and so on. But I would say a lot of it was about moderation. There was not extreme kinds of things, but moderation. And, you know, one thing that happened at the Golden Door and has become now, from a scientific point of view, a very important part of health and wellness is community and relationships. And that's something that happened at the Golden Door, because everyone came in on the same day, which was a Sunday, and left the following Sunday. It became a very, very bonded group of women or men, depending on if it was men's or women's weeks. And that aspect, I would say, is something that Deborah, you know, having relationships, having personal friendships. And I know Deborah has often said, because, you know, now that she's 93, she said, well, you know, a lot of her friends have died. And she has always made it a point to keep connected with younger people and people that, you know, she has a strong relationship with. And still to this day, because when I was living in New York, Deborah would stay with me very often. And I'm telling you, she was so busy with all the friends that she had. You know, she was very, very much intimately connected with a lot of people. What you were saying about her personal relationship with you after your mother died, she has those kind of relationships with you know, a lot of people, and it's just very fulfilling. And so her philosophy is one of, in a way, simple living in a very complex world and taking care of yourself, you know, moderation, healthy eating, exercise, fresh air, good sleep.
Which is all important.
Yeah.
And it still is. And also, I mean, she has such energy. I tell you something, her energy is better. I get exhausted just being with her. She never stops, you know. Now, also, let's talk a little bit about her, the original spot, the Rancho La Puerta, which I also went to in the late 50s. And at that point, it was obviously a lot smaller. And today, it's also a fantastic place, very different vibe. But Deborah liked the week because she felt, as you know, that, you know, if you go for 2 or 3 days, which is also wonderful. I mean, not everyone can take a week off. But, you know, by the third day, you sort of relax and you can sort of feel the benefits. And, of course, you're a little sore from the exercise. But then the fourth day and then the Thursday and the Friday, you start to feel better. So she really believed in taking that full week to feel good.
Right.
And the ranch also is a magnificent property.
It is. I love the ranch. In fact, I'm, you know, after our many, many years of relationship, she's asked me about 12 years ago to join the advisory board for Rancho La Puerta. So I've become now as knowledgeable about the ranch as I was about the Golden Door for so many years. And you're right, the one-week program is a real secret of the success of both, I think, the Golden Door and Rancho La Puerta. And, of course, as time has gone on and people have gotten busier and busier, there are very few places in the world that, you know, sort of insist on a one-week stay. Most every place you go, you know, you can go 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, and so on. And like you said, that is certainly, you know, wonderful to be able to spend that time. But the idea of the week, and especially when you come in and leave with the same people, there's something that happens there that's very, very magical. And Rancho La Puerta, I love the ranch also. It has its own magic. It is very, you know, inspired by Mexico and the culture there and the colors there and the food there. I love the food at Rancho La Puerta. It's very well known for its food and its nature. The hiking is fantastic.
Up the mountain, that wonderful mountain, that mountain
exactly.
Walk where you go up mountain, and it's just a wonderful, the morning exercise at like 6 a.m. is, you know, most people don't feel really like hiking at 6 a.m., but somehow you do when you're there and you run up the mountain.
You do. It's Mount Kuchma, which Deborah has always felt is a very magical mountain. And there are about 150 guests there, sometimes even a little bit more. And it's beautifully landscaped. The food is fantastic, as I mentioned. And they have so many classes a day. I think there's something like 60 or 70 program classes that you can choose from. Some exercise, some art classes, some lectures and education. And, you know, one thing that's new at the ranch, though, that I think is sort of a sign of the times, but they've done it so well, is they now have a wine bar. Can you imagine that?
Wow. And you know, you want to run up the mountain. You don't want to run up the mountain if you've had some wine, because you might actually fall off the side. But it sounds good to me. When you come back from your hike, you can have some wine, right?
What they've done, they've done it so well. It's only open in the evening, and it's actually, you have to sort of, it's not, you know, easy to find. It's, you know, kind of, you have to navigate some of those paths, and it's just a very beautiful area that has a nice view, and you know, people can just sit there and meet each other, and you know, maybe have a glass of wine. It's all very, very, very beautifully done. Not much emphasis on it, but it's an option, and over the years, that has been something that people like to be able to go away and work on their health and wellness, but still now and then maybe have a glass
right.
of wine.
I mean, it's reality, because when you come home, you will. So you might as well incorporate that into your program. So you have, when you go home, it's not, you can have the same type of experience that you had at the ranch and make it, you know, bring it home. So that's wonderful. So Susie, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about, you know, all of the, you know, there are tens and thousands of spas. You know, how can we find the right spa to go to? So stay with us. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back talking more about spas with Susie Ellis. Everyone, you're listening to the Jane Wilkins Michael Show on iHeartRadio Talk. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This portion of the Jane Wilkins Michael Show is brought to you by Express Scripts. Express Scripts oversees 1.4 billion pharmacy claims each year. On behalf of employers, health plans, unions, and government health programs, Express Scripts works to make the use of prescription drugs safer and more affordable for the 100 million Americans they serve. Understanding that better decisions lead to healthier outcomes, Express Scripts helps patients make the best drug choices and health choices possible. Their disease-specific pharmacists are here to help you better understand your prescribed therapy, lower your overall healthcare costs, and ultimately, stay on the path to better health. For more information, visit expressscripts.com. Want to know where you can hear Jane Wilkins Michael's show better than before? Well, that's easy. You can tune in to Jane via Clear Channel's iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, and at bmajor.org. Now, back to Jane Wilkins Michael and Better Than Before.
Welcome back, everyone. We are on the air live. You're listening to the Jane Wilkins Michael Show, Better Than Before, on iHeartRadio Talk. I'm here with Lori, as always. And we are talking to Susie Ellis, who is one of the most respected spa industry experts in the world. We have just spoken about my, I can't even talk, Susie. I'm so, you know, thinking about the spas, the Golden Door and Rancho La Puerta, two of my favorites. So let's broaden it if we can. There are tens and thousands of spas, as you know, out there today. They're destination spas, resort, hotel spas, day spas, medical spas, mineral spring spas. You know, how do people find out which is the best spa for them?
Well, I think what you said is exactly right, the best spa for them, because there are so many spas. In fact, you know, the Global Wellness Institute, which is something I'm very passionate about now and part of, we've done quite a bit of research over the many, many years in terms of how many spas there are in the world, what they contribute to revenue in terms of income for countries, and we've done research on wellness tourism and so on and so forth. And one thing we know is that there are, in the U.S., there are more spas than there are Starbucks, which gives you an idea that there
are quite a few. An idea of how many there are. Especially in New York, there's Starbucks on every corner here, yes.
Exactly. And there are actually more spas in New York than there are Starbucks. So there are a lot. So for people to choose, that's one of the reasons that, you know, we put together Spa Finder online, because nowadays that really is the best way to find a good match, because there are so many different kinds of spas. Sometimes a person might be looking for a day spa, or they might look for a destination spa, as we spoke about with Rancho La Puerta and Golden Door, Canyon Ranch, those kinds of places where you go away for periods of time. But there are also medical spas and mineral spring spas, which there's kind of a renaissance in the mineral thermal spas nowadays. And, of course, there's spas all over the world. So if someone, if I was wanting to choose a spa, I would have to go to spafinder.com and look at my options, so, because you could put in, for example, you want a day spa in Miami or in New York, or you want to go to Europe and you're wanting to see what's in the UK. Maybe you want to go to a destination spa there. And so there's lots of different ways that you can sort of slice and dice looking for the type of spa or that by price or by distance. If you're in a certain location, if you want something very close, you can find something in your area. So I think that that, and of course nowadays, online reviews is a good way to look at you know what you might be able to expect. And then I'm still also very much a fan of the awards programs that are out there. And so you have, you know, Condé Nast, and you have Travel and Leisure, you know, Spa Finder. There's awards for top spas that are voted on by editors and by guests. So there are a lot of different ways to look and find places that might be just the right place for you. But I think maybe the place to start is to ask yourself, what is it you want to accomplish? What is it you want? Do you need to get away? Do you need to rest? Do you want to lose weight? When you narrow that down, then it'll be easier to find what you might be interested in. But there's certainly something that you will love, because there's so many different options these days. Right. And at all prices.
I've had the Canyon Ranch actually on when you mentioned the Canyon Ranch. I've several times Lori and I have had the Canyon Ranch on the show. They're also a wonderful spa they're in Tucson, and they're also here in the Berkshires in Massachusetts. So that's
right.
A good spa. And there're really, really so many of them. I think basically what people, I mean, when they think of spas, the expense, I mean, it is a little bit expensive, and you know, travel in general is expensive. Just the cab to the airport here in New York City is like $1,000 right off the bat. Talking about, if we can, spafinder.com, and then talk about their price range. Is that something that would be a good suggestion for them, that, you know, give a kind of a range of what they're willing to spend and then find a spa within that?
Yes, I think that, you know, that's the good news, and that even though we talk a lot about, you know, sort of the high-priced spas, there are a lot of places now where you can go and get a massage for a lot less, or even, you know, classes and so on. I mean, Massage Envy is one franchise that, you know, a lot of people maybe have heard of, where they have, you can go and get a massage for a very reasonable price. And nowadays, I think what we're finding is people are not just thinking about this as being a splurge, but there's a lot of evidence that there's real value in getting a massage, or having a yoga class, or doing meditation. And so that is, you know, it's, and pricing wise, for example, with Massage Envy, it depends a little bit on where you are in the country, but their prices can be as low as, you know, $49 for a massage, which is, you know, pretty darn good. And if you really look around, even in New York, when I lived there, I found a place for massages for $60 for an hour. And that was in New York City. Yes. And of course, you could also go to the hotel spas and pay, you know, four or five times that much. And you'd have more amenities, and it would be, you know, fabulous surroundings. But to actually have the body work, you know, comes at a lot of different price ranges these days.
Yeah, and you know, years ago when people went to spas, it was more really to lose weight, I think, you know.
Yes.
And that was today it's more about stress relief, I think.
Right.
I think that
That's
people are also so overly stressed, and I know too that the diet philosophy, it's no longer diet, you know, it's a way of life, it's a regimen, a healthy regimen. It's no longer just eating a lettuce leaf. And I do remember that was a lot of the spas would gave very small portions, and then you were so exhausted because you didn't eat enough and have enough fuel that you couldn't really exercise. And you know, I often tell this story that I went to a spa, they just had juice and fasting, and everybody was starving. And the scandal of the day was that the yoga instructor was seen coming out of the tennis pro's room right in the middle of the night. And someone was telling the story to a rather elderly woman sitting in the lobby, and she opened her eyes wide and she said, "Really?" She goes, "And just what do you suppose they were eating?" we were all starving, but but today I think as you can tell our listeners as well, you do have more food. You have options to have seconds or thirds or as much food as you want, but it's good food. It's healthy food. So is that where spa? Do you notice that change as well?
I have and certainly. There's more science, I think, also that has shown that, a very, very low calorie diet. And I do remember, I think, in the early years, at the Golden Door, I think it was 700 calories, 900 calories, 1100 calories, and then 5 hours of exercise. I mean, that was a lot. And, and so there are healthier ways now with, healthy food. You can have more calories, and have more energy and so on. But one thing I have to say, in my opinion, after all these years, that in some ways I would say that spas have gotten a little bit more to the place of being, offering too much temptation, honestly, that there's like maybe a little too much choice and availability. That's really one part of why I like a spa, like the Golden Door and other places. I was just at a place in Spain called Shaw Wellness, and they also had a similar philosophy where there wasn't as much temptation around. I mean, the meals were lovely and so on, but it wasn't a matter of you could just eat whenever you want or get a cup of coffee and so on. And I do think that the results at the end of a stay where there are fewer temptations are better than if you can choose to, have a snack here and there and, there's coffee readily available and sweeteners and so on. So sometimes I have to say that the pendulum perhaps has swung a little bit from being too severe to sometimes being a little bit too indulgent in terms of food part. So, but that's.
I know my husband likes to eat, so they did. Well, I'm sure change their entire dietary philosophy to accommodate him. I'm convinced, and give him things like cheesecake and ice cream, which they never did before. Yes. So, and he's very happy. I think he had a steak at one of the places. Whoa, this is good. This is like speaking of at its finest, right? So Susie, let's talk about wellness. It's not as much about, there's health, but wellness is the broader explanation of the broader term. And it has become a very popular term today. And you're also the CEO and chairman of a new organization, the Global Wellness Institute, which we mentioned in the intro. Tell us about that.
Well, wellness is a term that I remember when I first started hearing it, and it isn't that old of a term. In some ways, people think, "Oh, it's been around for forever." Well, it really hasn't been. In fact, the first time it was used was around 1969 when a gentleman, Dr. Halbert Dunn, wrote a book called High Level Wellness. And then, the word sort of, was used in different circles. And then there was a gentleman, Jack Travis, who started something called a wellness program in Northern California. And then the word started spreading more and more. The thing I love about the word is that it is very much an umbrella word. And what it indicates is that there's more to health than just physical health, that wellness is also about emotional wellness and spiritual wellness, even financial wellness, relationship wellness, because if a person is having, say, a lot of financial problems, that's going to affect their well-being, whether they are physically healthy or not. So wellness is a very encompassing term, and I really like it because it talks about a person's well-being. And so there's a lot of different ways to address that. A lot of it is physical, but it isn't only physical. So the Global Wellness Institute, we've done a fair amount of research on that. And we also do a summit that we do once a year in a different part of the world. And in fact, last year we were in Morocco with a Global Wellness Summit, and we invited a couple of the pioneers of the term wellness. Dr. Jack Travis was one of them, and Dr. Don or Dell was another one. They are now in their 70s, and they were part of the world when the word wellness actually was born. But that term now, wellness, is being used around the world, and it's something that we help people understand as a little bit more on the side of prevention than the medical side of cure. In other words, let's prevent people from being sick. So instead of all the money that's being spent on curing healthcare and hospitals and doctors, let's stay healthy. Let's prevent people from being overweight or from getting diabetes. And that, you know, of course, is something that most everybody can agree on is a good direction, and that's certainly something that we're seeing some momentum for globally, and especially in the U.S.
And it's holistic. It's, you know, it's multifaceted. Right. It's not just, and I liked, you know, I was reading your Global Wellness Institute newsletter, and you said something about Bruce Jenner in relation to wellness, and I thought it was very well put. Instinctively, you wrote, all of us recognize that while one can be in terrific shape physically, as you just mentioned, there are many other parts of our lives that might be unwell, and you just mentioned those as well. There are emotional, social, mental, spiritual issues, along with many other dimensions of wellness, of course. So, you know, it is true. It's not just one thing. As I said in my book, you know, it's all well and good to eat kale, think happy thoughts, and go around the block, but that's not going to make you better than before. That's not going to do it. You have to combine so much more in looking to be better than before. So it's very important, the whole feeling of wellness. Now, you know, talking a little bit about the summit this year, you have, I noticed, Dr. Deepak Chopra. He is one of your keynote speakers, and we just had his daughter, Malika, on last week discussing her new book. He is certainly a pioneer in raising the awareness of the concept of personal well-being. And so it was exciting, I'm sure, to have him as a guest, is it not, to have him speak?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are really thrilled. And our summit this year is November 13th through 15th in Mexico City. And he will be, as you said, one of our keynote speakers. And he's, of course, we've known about Deepak Chopra for, you know, many, many years. And he has his well-being center in the La Costa area, which is actually fairly close to the Golden Door. And but he's very, very popular globally, and especially in Latin America. And as you said, he's a pioneer in this whole idea of wellness. I mean, you know, meditation and mindfulness, that's something that's, you know, really, really becoming much more talked about and important as people are pursuing well-being, and he's certainly been a pioneer in that. So I'm really looking forward to, I've met him on a few occasions, but to seeing him again, and I know he's doing a lot with Oprah, and just, you know, he's really done a lot, and as you said, really taken the conversation past just, you know, physical health. And that's really what I thought was so interesting now about Bruce Jenner's story, because he is the epitome of, you know, physical health, you know, having won the decathlon. And yet when, you know, you saw the interview, and I'm sure many people did, you could see the struggle that he went through and is going through, but certainly has for, you know, so much of his life. That it was it's an interesting thing, and I'm really looking forward to watching, you know, what will happen. I happen to have been on the Governor's Council on Physical Fitness with Bruce, so I knew him back, I guess it was in the early 90s, and he was just always such a very down-to-earth, likable person, you know, kind of had a good sense of humor, and always was very, you know, talked often about physical health and well-being and so on. So I think it's really a gift that he's being so open about what he's going through now. And I think it'll be a good thing for all of us to watch and to learn and sort of identify in our own ways that well-being is something more than just physical health.
And he was he was probably the world's greatest athlete for sure. Yeah,
absolutely.
Now, speaking of travel, one of the things you're also passionate about, so I hear, is the travel category of wellness tourism. Now, is that just finding the various spas and resorts that offer this head-to-toe, holistic kind of philosophy?
Well, You're absolutely right. I am passionate about wellness tourism because it's actually an emerging category that is really, really catching, it's having a lot of momentum globally. And it's so exciting because, and I think, you know, when we introduced the first research on wellness tourism, it was the year that we were in India with our Global Wellness Summit. And India is a very good place to think about and really understand wellness tourism because wellness tourism is different than medical tourism. Medical tourism is when people go and have, you know, surgeries and, do things that, whether it's cosmetic or in other ways, generally for lower cost or access and so on. And India is a good example of a place where people can go and have, you know, medical tourism. But India is also a great example of wellness tourism, which is where people go for things like meditation or yoga or Ayurveda, so that the indigenous practices there are something that contribute to a person's health, and wellness being something alongside of medical, but not the same as. So wellness tourism is something that we have been doing research on, recognizing that there's a lot more of it, people going to different places for their well-being, for their health, and it's contributing quite a bit to a country's economy, and it's creating jobs because every country has its own indigenous practices. We were in Morocco last year, and of course the, you know, Moroccan hammam and some of the, you know, the argan oil and things that are
right, that's
indigenous.
Come here.
Yep. Pardon me?
That's come here, the hammam and the argan
exactly.
Oil.
Exactly. And so that's what you experience it just like yoga and Ayurveda have come here. And yet then you go to India to experience it or to Morocco. And so wellness tourism has become something that tourism ministries are investing in different countries all over the world. And we just find that it's an exciting I wouldn't even say trend. It's an exciting development. And there is a difference between primary wellness travel and secondary. And to your question about going somewhere and being immersed in a experience, that we would say would be primary. So if you go to, say, India for a yoga retreat, then you are a primary wellness traveler. But the secondary wellness traveler is actually a much bigger category, and we've probably all been part of that, where you go somewhere, and along the way, you have a massage, or maybe you experience the mineral springs in that area. You include something health, wellness-related in your travels, and a lot of business people are wanting to do that now. Some people, of course, you know, they will do that on honeymoons. You know, any kind of travel can be including a secondary wellness aspect to it. So wellness tourism and wellness travel is becoming something, more and more popular and really very exciting.
Now if I told my husband that I wanted the primary wellness experience, you know, like eat, pray, love, perhaps go to an ashram,
right,
in India, he'd say, well,
yeah,
that's good. Just remember to bring dinner home tonight. bring something to eat back with you, right? So, also, Susie, in the little time we have left, SpaFinder Wellness is known for its annual trends report. Aside from wellness and what we just discussed, are there any other trends that we should be looking for?
Well, you know, I love our trends reports. We do this. We've done it for, you know, I think it's 12 years now. And in the year 2015, we have some new trends that we've talked about, and I'll just mention them. It's a 68, or I think it's even this year, even larger report. So it's extremely thorough if someone wants to really, look into all the examples of these trends and so on. They can find them online at spotfinder.com. But a couple of the trends I thought I would just mention for 2015, one is called forest bathing, which I don't know if everyone has ever even heard of it. But
forest? Like forest? Like tree forest? Bathing.
Yes, like trees, forest, and bathing, like, you know, bathtub bathing.
Oh.
And the idea is forest bathing is going into the forest and being bathed by all the things in the forest, the smells, the sounds, the air, and so on. And this actually comes from something in it started in Japan, where forest bathing is actually something that is very much part of the medical industry, where people are recognized for experiencing forest bathing as something that definitely reduces stress. And we're seeing more and more emphasis on this kind of thing. It's part of the going out in nature trend, but in particular with forests. So, you know, that's just kind of a fun thing to know that is something that's happening. You know, we're seeing more wellness traditions from the Islamic world. That was one of the trends. We see more industrial, you know, wellness in work settings, blue-collar wellness in particular, different from, say, the white-collar wellness. We are seeing wellness homes and communities as a trend, even wellness cities. One of the trends we predicted, which has gotten a bit of a flurry, is cannabis, the new spa and wellness connections. Yes, that was a surprise to a lot of people.
Is that only in Denver? Is that only in Colorado?
Well, you know, it's in Colorado for sure, but it's starting to be, you know, in other places. And, you know, what we've always been known for with our trend list is we look at things that will be coming. We do a lot of research on this, on the trends, and spend a lot of time researching and surveys and so on. So cannabis is something, and you know, that is starting to be associated with wellness in, you know, some areas and even in the medical arena. So that is something we were shining a bit of light on. Hyper-personalized beauty is a trend. The whole thing with gut, you know, with what's happening in our intestines, the, you know, we called it gut reaction, but I think people are certainly reading a little bit more about that. Gut health is becoming very, very important. And we also, another trend that I like, and actually I'm part of, is one called spa on arrival. In other words, when people are traveling, you know, whether it's en route, you know, airport spas and so on, but also the idea of whenever you arrive somewhere after you've been traveling to take part in a spa activity as soon as you can, whether it's going out for a walk or maybe having a massage, something that will revitalize you right away. So those are just a few of the trends.
Goodness, there's so much. I'm still thinking of forest bathing. If you can bring that here to Central Park, I'll go right now. Oh, goodness. I didn't know. My goodness, so many trends to think about, and they're all wonderful and healthy. Now, Susie, in our last couple of minutes, if you don't mind, as I mentioned, you are absolutely stunning, and I'm sure you've taken some tips from spas over the years that you have created your sort of at-home spa experience. Can you share a few with our listeners of how they can create a spa at home? Just a few things that they can, you know, put on their refrigerators or their bathroom mirrors and say, you know, Susie's tips for creating an at-home spa.
Well, sure. I would say that, you know, if I think of my typical day, I would say sleep is very important. I think it's really difficult to feel and really look your best if you haven't had good sleep. So I think putting emphasis on sleep and really making it a priority in a bedroom, turning off, you know, all those electronic things and you know, maybe wearing a sleep mask if you need, and, you know, a little bit of lavender at night, whatever, to help you sleep. I think sleep is really important. I think, you know, creating a time just for yourself where you can play some music that you enjoy. I think maybe putting some, lowering the lights, maybe even throwing a colored fabric over your lamp so that you just have a little bit of a color bath around you. And I, speaking of bath, I do think that's still something that can relax someone as quickly as anything else, which is, you know, a warm bath, 20 minutes soaking maybe with Epsom salts, or, you know, it doesn't have to be expensive kinds of things, but just spending that time, you know, putting on a candle, a little aromatherapy, I think is also very helpful. You can, and even, you know, massaging, you know, my husband and I massage each other's feet, and that can be a relaxing way to, you know, have a little bit of a spa feel with without actually having to leave home. So, you know, maybe sisters can do that and, you know,
husband,
friends.
Husband, massage my feet. I'm sending him an email right now, right? He can massage. I think he wants me to massage his feet, you know. So, but I also recommend in the book to take a little, you know, portion of your apartment or your house, make it in your own little comfort corner, you know, and just do things in there. I listen to the music and, you know, maybe put some weights in and just maybe put on a mask, you know, face mask and do just relax and just have a place that's kind of yours that you can relax in, which is
and meditation. And nowadays there are apps available online that can help you with, you know, whether it's exercise or meditation. And you're right, doing a room in your home or a corner, you know, just helps remind you to sort of spend more time there.
And relax. Just get anything to get rid of the stress of our day. So, Susie, tell our listeners where they can find all the sites. How can they click onto it online?
Well, I think certainly spafinder.com, you know, that's easy to remember. There's lots of information there, lots of ways to find spas. And I think that those who are very, you know, interested maybe the whole world of wellness and the whole industry of it would go to the globalwellnessinstitute.com, would find a lot of really, you know, fascinating information there. And from that website, they can also find out about the summit if they're interested in that kind of thing. So just globalwellnessinstitute.com or spafinder.com will get them to all the things we talked about.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being with us. It was an absolute delight to speak with you. I have found myself calming down just having spoken with you for an hour. I'm feeling very good, much better than before. So thanks again, Susie. It was really wonderful to have you join us today. That's our show, everyone.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you again. Thank you, Lori, as always, and thank you all for listening. This is Jane Wilkins-Michael. I will see you next week. Until then, be wise, be well, be better than before.
Have a question for Jane and want to be on the next Better Than Before show? Drop us a line via instantfeedback@bmajor.org. The Jane Wilkins-Michael Show is brought to you by Express Scripts and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.